everyone. This episode is brought to you by BunnySlippers.com. Going to be talking about Carmilla today, not Camilla, as I keep saying. Carmilla today, and we're going to be talking to Drew. So you've heard Drew a bunch, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Black Clock Audio Tales, People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. Find us on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. And you know what? You can go to paypal.me/PGTTCM and donate some money to help keep the lights on and keep the episodes coming. And you can also go to threadless.com. Go to pgttcm.threadless.com. Check out our cool shirts. We've got the Ratfink-inspired Sathagwa and Atlathnacha t-shirt right now. We've also got a couple of logo shirts for the TV show, I wish, for the podcast that, I don't know, I like them. I wear one around. I think it's cool. We've got buttons, not on anything, but if you go to any event that I'm at, or if, you know, you live in Portland and you're like, hey, or if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope, I can send you some buttons, some stickers, whatnot. Anyway, message me if you want buttons and stickers, because, you know, self-addressed stamped envelope, that's when you send an envelope to someone inside of an envelope. But you make sure that there's postage on the envelope so that the person you're sending it to doesn't have to pay postage for you. And, you know, stuff with free stuff. For the final episode of the month, we're having David Heath talk about August Derleth in France and cool stuff like that.
DB asked me if I could say something in defense of August Derleth. My response was, I could defend Arkham House, but not really August Derleth himself. I was surprised because that was, I thought, an original response, but it was pretty much, I think, the response he got from everybody he talked to. Arkham House is amazing, especially the time he did it. He basically invented the do-it-yourself, up from the bootstrap, punk rock mentality of small press printing. All this from the guy who basically said that Cthulhu was a water elemental. If August Derleth did not create Arkham House, H.P. Lovecraft would not be a commonly known name. His little DIY publishing house allowed Lovecraft and its works to survive onto the 21st century. If not, he would be an obscure person whose work in public domain might occasionally appear in, you know, anthologies that needed some extra space. Having not spoken to anyone else who's going to be on this podcast, I'm going to kind of assume everybody is going to tell you that. I'm also going to tell you, guilty pleasure, I like some of Derleth's stories. I like the Trail of Cthulhu. I like the Lair of the Starspawn. I think they're good stories. I do not like the stories where he basically said, well, Lovecraft wrote them when they were just maybe an idea from Lovecraft, and then Derleth tacked on Lovecraft's name to make it more sellable to a larger audience and to connect him with the man from Providence. So in my attempt to do something original, I'm going to talk about the great influence that August Derleth had on France. Now, maybe everybody else who's going to be on this podcast has talked about it, but I'm hoping that this is such an obscure concept that we're not going to have three or four more eloquent, more intelligent, and more established people saying the same thing that I am. So Lovecraft died in 1938. It was 3 years before Pearl Harbor. And I'm not going to diverge into Lovecraft's politics, but I think if he had lived to see Pearl Harbor, he would have maybe changed some of his beliefs. I think he definitely would have supported the war effort in the fact that the United States had been attacked by Japan. Arkham House was founded in 1939, 2 years prior to the attack on Pearl Harbor. August Derleth was 32 years old. Not ancient, old in any way of the word, but at the same point, he was too old for active service. There, of course, was this incredible patriotic surge to help the war effort, to volunteer, to fight if you could. And even people who were not of age to fight or to enlist, you know, there were food drives, there were medal drives, there was voluntary fuel rationing, food rationing. So I don't think it's too much of a risk or a stretch to say that in most cases, the United States was completely behind the war effort of World War II. So Derleth did what he could to support the war effort, and that meant giving 500 copies of the Dunwich Horror and Other Weird Tales free of charge to give to servicemen who were going to fight overseas in Europe. Evidently, Derleth felt pretty good about himself, and why not? He was helping a war effort. He was providing comfort, or he thought he was providing comfort, to troops who were going to go literally through hell on earth. Now, I'm not sure he thought this out completely, because, you know, the old adage, there are no atheists in foxholes. And Lovecraft is the ultimate atheist. These people are living a life where they believe that if they lose their life, they will receive some spiritual reward. And now they've got this book in their hands that says, well, all that's not true. The universe doesn't care. The supernatural beings that would be unto gods really don't care about you. They just swat at you if you are a nuisance to them. So I'm not sure that was the best thing for soldiers to read. But he did it. He did it out of patriotism. And who knows, maybe it did lift some people's spirits in a very hard and trying time. What we do know is that many copies of these books were left in France. And when we think of post-war world, here in America, we think of the post-World War II experience that we had in the United States. And the United States basically came out of World War II stronger, more powerful, and economically better than it went into it. This is a unique situation, and I don't know of any other country that could say the same thing. England didn't stop food rationing until the mid-50s, so they were still experiencing the war, parts of the war, the effect of the war, a decade afterwards. And France, especially. France was going through this ennui period, this sort of depression, this restlessness as a nation. And to some extent, France had these as a national tendency to like the morbid, to like the horrific. I mean, we see this in their love of Poe and their love of Jerry Lewis. And I don't know how many of these Arkham House servicemen military copies of the book survived after the war, but enough did. Enough that it started to influence French writers. It started to get reprinted and circulated. And this feeling that Lovecraft captured of being an outsider, of being in a hostile universe that you did not create, nor can you control, nor can you really understand, it really appealed to post-war France. And it began to be seriously taken as literature. Back when the United States, it was still seen as this sort of childish, juvenile pulp fiction. Lovecraft is going to appeal to people who feel that they're outsiders, who feel that they are in a universe they cannot control. And to some extent, we're going to see that in the United States come the 70s, the early 80s, where many prominent gay writers are going to take an interest, or many members of the gay community are going to feel a connection with Lovecraft's writings that they absolutely never would have had with the man himself if they had known him. Same thing in France. I really wonder if Lovecraft was alive, how he would have felt with the French sort of glomming onto him. This huge Anglophile. So I think he would have felt honored that the French put him up there with Poe, a connection between Poe and his work. But I think he would have kind of not liked France in general. But the French loved him. And because, and as much as I love and respect and say Arkham House did this great thing in preserving Lovecraft and inadvertently preserving Lovecraft to the French, Derleth was very controlling over what he felt was his right to Lovecraft, the Cthulhu Mythos copyright. Now, in France, we're not going to see this. So it's going to be much easier to get copies of Lovecraft's writing in France than in the United States until about 1970s, when Del Rey starts producing mass market trade paperbacks. So when we start comparing Go to Heaven to Go to Hell points that August Derleth has collected, we have to make sure that we put in the Go to Heaven portion 2 points for preserving Lovecraft in two separate countries. My name is David Heath, and I run a blog called Dave's Corner of the Universe, and I'm grateful that you spent the time listening to me and hearing about how August Derleth saved Lovecraft in France.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show, paying attention, listening to Brian and Drew talk about Carmilla, and yeah, thank you so much, and remember that we've got a monthly Call of Cthulhu audio show that we do for Blacklock Audio Tales called People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. Gonna have Ken Height on talking about Ran to Goth. And yeah, no, it's pretty cool. And also, end of the month, we're gonna have David Heath talking about Ambrose Bierce. We're going to have Ken Hine talking about Ambrose Spears' penultimate. So, yeah. Get ready for that. And, all right, thank you so much for listening, and we'll We'll get you next. We'll talk to you next time. Keep it squiggly and stay weird. All right. Bye.